As a scripture lesson, I'm going to read from Galatians, the fifth chapter, beginning at verse 16. Galatians 5:16. I'm going to read from the Diaglot. Galatians 5:16. Now I say, walk by the Spirit and fulfill not the desire of the flesh, for the flesh desires the contrary of the Spirit, and the Spirit the contrary of the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, so that you do not perform the things which you wish. But if you be led by Spirit, you are not under law. Now the works of the flesh are manifestly these: fornication, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, quarrels, jealousies, resentments, altercations, factions, and sects, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and things similar to these, respecting which I tell you before, even as I previously told you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit God's kingdom. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, fidelity, meekness, self-control. Against such like things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires. If we live by Spirit, we should also walk by Spirit. We should not become vainglorious, provoking each other, envying each other. That's Galatians 5:16-26. We've been talking about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, the different areas having to do with it, and we talked about the usage of the word Spirit in the New Testament. We talked about the Holy Spirit of God. We've talked about the spiritual gifts. We've talked about the Christian begettal from above. But we want to today to talk about the fruit or harvest of the Spirit. And that's what we talked, that's what we read about here. The works of the flesh, as opposed to the fruit of the Spirit. I did not bring PowerPoint today. Those are very simple, two of them. Works of the flesh on one hand, fruit of the Spirit on the other. And the fruits, or the harvest that we have in our lives as Christians, is a result of abiding in Christ. One of the most precious texts on that is the 15th chapter of John, in which he said he was the vine. And he said, you're the branches. And he said, I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that may bring forth more fruit. If you're around anybody that, for instance, has muscadines or anything of this sort, they're pruning them now, because that's the way to get more fruit, is to prune. So he's saying, if you've got a branch that doesn't, you prune it. And so he said, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. In other words, if you cut off a branch off of something, it's going to die, it's not going to bear. So he said, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Without me you can do nothing. So he said, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so ye shall ye be my disciples. So this is a very simple thing in which he's talking about a vine. And he's the vine, we're the branches, and as long as we stay in him and abide in him, we'll bring forth fruit. But if we don't, then we'll be pruned. And so as a result, the thing that we're talking about here is bringing forth fruit. And the lesson there in that particular text was abiding in the vine, abiding in Christ, walking in Christ, letting His words be in us so that we live according to His will. It's being a Christian, being a disciple, a separated person for Him. It's like being possessed of the new nature. And it's walking in the Spirit and being under God's influence. These are the things that's how we bring forth fruit. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, in the 7th chapter of Matthew, talked about fruit. And it's very interesting because it really pinpoints what it takes to bear fruit and how important it is. He said in the 16th verse of the 7th chapter of Matthew, "Ye shall know them." He's talking about false prophets. "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Wherefore," verse 20, "by their fruits ye shall know them." In other words, it's talking about fruits. And this is a thing that we are expected to do. In other words, in the same Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Judge not that ye be not judged." He said there's a danger in judging, because the same measure you use on somebody else will turn around and be used on you. That's the danger of judging. It's not the fact that we aren't to judge or make decisions. It's just that it's dangerous, because however we judge, we will be judged. But he seems to me to be saying we, instead of being judges, we ought to be fruit inspectors. And in other words, that how do you know whether somebody's good or bad? Well, you look at their fruits. And our big problem always as human beings is to judge motives. All we see is what people do. It's a hard time to decide or discover what motivated or moved them to do what they did. And sometimes we misread motives. We say a wrong motive when there was no wrong motive intended. But what we're really getting down to here is talking about fruit. What kind of fruit are people showing? The big thing we want to bring out today too is the contrast between the flesh and spirit. These are opposed to each other. The 8th chapter of the book of Romans is very plain there, the 4th through the 9th verses. He said that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after spirit. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after spirit or have the new nature, the things of the spirit. To be carnally minded, fleshly minded, is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the fleshly mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that spirit of God dwell in you. If any man have not spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If Christ be in you. All these are terms talking about the new nature that we have beginning at baptism, as we feed on the Word of God and eliminate and work against the old man and his deeds. But they're opposed all the time. In fact, in this scripture lesson, he said the walk in spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust, the flesh lusts against spirit, spirit against flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So they are opposed. They don't go together. there's no There's no way we can improve the flesh. In other words, if you have the fleshly, worldly, there's no way you can improve it. You can doctor it up, you can dress it up, but it's still flesh. So it is directly opposed to the spiritual things that we are to have in Christ. And these are descriptions of the old and new nature. There are a lot of definitions and a lot of comparisons. One is inward man, outward man, old man, new man. These are all talking about the same things, the way we live in the world if we're not in Christ, and the way we walk and work if we are in Christ. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the works of the flesh. Works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And it goes on and names them in the 20th and 21st verses. One of the things that we can know, works call for pay. Wages. If you work, you get wages. So, in Romans 6:23, it says, the wage of sin is death. If you work these works of flesh, the wage you're going to get is death. Of course, if you serve Christ, the gift you're going to get is life. But these are the things. It's adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Some of these are pretty big words. I've looked up some of them. Some of them are very revealing. Lasciviousness is excess in anything. Witchcraft, this was one of the most revealing of all to me. It's the Greek word pharmakia, where we get the word pharmacy having to do with drugs. And I have to admit, even as a preacher, I wondered for so long, when you have drug addiction, why didn't God mention that as being something bad? Well, he did. But the translators covered it up by translating it witchcraft. And this word witchcraft here, that's from pharmakia, means enchantment with drugs. There you got it. It's plainly spelled out. And drugs in the old times did go with witchcraft or sorcery. And in fact, the Oracle at Delphi, which is world famous, the National Geographic showed it, and there was a subterranean chamber, and then there was a hole that came out of this chamber, and then there was a tripod, and they would have this beautiful young woman that would sit on this tripod. Well, what they were doing, they were burning drugs down in this chamber, and the smoke from the drugs was coming up, and this young woman was breathing these drugs, and she was shrieking and carrying on, and all these priests of Delphi would say, well, you come and say, well, I wonder what the oracle has to say about my business. So you'd ask her, and she'd shriek, and then these priests would say, well, blah, 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 and they would interpret it. But the whole thing was drug-induced. And so as a result, witchcraft, sorcery, magic, and so forth, a lot of it was related to drugs. This is not, drug addiction is not a modern affliction. This has been going on for years. I never will forget, as a young child living in Pomona, California, we had a Mexican minority. They were bad to use marijuana, and all over the school and everywhere else. I never tried it myself. Glad I never did. In fact, I'm one of those. I want to be in complete control of my body at all times, so I would never try them if anybody offered it to me. But what I'm getting at here is that among these works of the flesh, of all these things that are bad, here it is, enchantment with drugs. But lest we think that's the worst thing, goes on to talk about hating somebody, being angry with somebody that you want to kill them, envying, and all these things, they're right in there with it. They're all bad. In fact, There are no such thing as a little sin and a big sin. It's all sin, plain black. You can't whiten it no matter what you do. But the thing that we want to bring out here, and I love the diaglot on this, says that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Diaglot for that says practice. In other words, this is not something that one makes an occasional mistake in their life that this is going to keep them out of the kingdom. It's what it's saying that those who practice these things shall not inherit it. Those who continually do them, and they will not inherit the kingdom of God. So it's very, very serious with these things that it lists here about the works of the flesh. Those who practice it shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23 says. So we can be sure of that, and that is laid out so plainly that can't make any mistake. One of the things that I usually bring out in regard to judging is that we don't have to judge. Word of God is doing this. In fact, Jesus said, I believe it's in the 5th chapter of John, he said, I'm not judging you. The Word judges you. So if you see something doing wrong, doing one of these wrongs, you're not the one judging them. The Scriptures are already judging them. And as a result, don't feel bad. As in your fruit inspection, you find out that somebody's not doing what's right. The Word of God is judging them and showing their works that they are opposed to God, and they're not spiritual. They're not Christian works. So opposed to the works of the flesh are the fruits of the Spirit. And that's what is are mentioned here in the 22nd and 23rd chapters, verses of the 5th chapter of Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit, and the definite article the is here. In this, up through here, I wanted to read it. This is say, walk in Spirit. Flesh lusteth against spirit, spirit against flesh. No definite articles. If he be led of spirit, these things, the is not in those. It's talking about the new nature that we are walking. But here is talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Then this is saying this is the sort of the source of this fruit is as we are walking in Him and walking in Christ, these are the fruits that we're going to be bringing forth. First one it mentions is love. And I've talked so many times about love that I know all of you could probably recite on it. But the Greeks had three words for love. There was eros, that was fleshly love, that was self-fulfillment. They had phileo, which was kiss love, which means that you love those who love you. And then it goes on to another word, agape, which is high love, where you love those that you don't even like. In fact, when it says in the Scriptures, love your enemies, it doesn't say like your enemies. It says love them. In other words, this is a high love that springs from admiration, veneration, which chooses the object of its decision of the will, devotes self-denying and compassionate devotion to it. It is love in the fullest conceivable form. And this is the love that God has toward us and that we are asked to have toward our enemies. And the great love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, is so beautiful about all the things that we could be and all the things we could brag about. But if we don't have that really high love, we're just nothing. In fact, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one toward another. This is the way we're going to show it, if we have love and concern and interest in our fellow church members and the people we come in contact with every day. I really think that perhaps every one of the fruits that are mentioned could be included under love. If we had love, we would have joy, we would have peace, we would have long-suffering, we would be gentle, we would be good, we would be faithful, we would be meek, and we would be temperate. But this is the first one mentioned, and really it's one of the last things acquired in our Christian experience. Sometime if you want to find out about this, read 2 Peter 1. It starts out with faith, goes through all of these steps, and ends up with high love. High love didn't come first. It was faith that came first. We have to learn. We have to develop this. And this is something that it's a lifetime of it, acquiring this high love toward people. And then he said joy. This is the word gladness. And a wonderful text is joy unspeakable, 1 Peter 1:8. In fact, the book of Philippians is called the Epistle of Joy because joy is used over and over again in that letter. And then we have peace. This is a unity or a concord with others. In other words, it's in opposition to strife. And this is very important in the church and very important in the family. Very important in school and where we work is to have this peace and freedom from strife. It's extremely important. There are a good many texts that talk about that. Another one that lists is long-suffering. This means going long before becoming angry. And I hate to admit it, but I've got Irish in me, and Irish are always known for their tempers. This is something I've had to work with all my life, is not to get angry soon, but to really bear a lot before one becomes angry. Gentleness. This is from a work that means kindness. And Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. It's very interesting. We eat at a place in Edgefield called the Old Edgefield Grill. There's a woman that works there that was very nasty to one of our friends from Anderson. So instead of this gal, she's a professed Christian, instead of her being spiteful toward this person, she's been using reverse psychology on her. You should have seen her yesterday. We ate there. She even brought this lady a Valentine, the one that she had been mean to. So anyway, this girl says, well, I don't want this gal to be an enemy of mine, so I guess I'll start working on her. So she's been doing things that blesses the other person. The person just responding. And it's wonderful to see. And it works that way, too. How to get rid of an enemy? Make him a friend. That's how to get rid of an enemy. Don't kill him. Make him a friend. Goodness. This has to mean just sterling goodness apart from attractiveness. I thought it was interesting this week on Valentine's posting on the internet was, men prefer brains over looks. And I thought that was pretty good. I don't know whether that's true all the time. Strom Thurmond said on his 98th birthday, he said, men love to be around pretty women. He said, that's natural. Any normal man likes to be around pretty women. He said that on his 98th birthday. I said, I'm drinking the same water as Strom Thurmond down at Edgefield, so I like to see a pretty woman. Anyway, I don't lust toward them. They're just like flowers. You don't have to pick the flowers. You can admire them. But anyway, this is genuine goodness. And it's wonderful. I love to be around good people. They may be homely as a mud fence, but if they're good, that is worth it. Then it mentions faith, and this word, as is used here, means faithfulness. To be a person that people can depend upon, And I think that is one of the things that has been so rewarding to me. I have friends, close friends, that were in the first church I ever served full time. And that was 60 years ago. And they're still hard-working church members that you can depend on, that are in positions of demanding faithfulness, attendance, and serving God. And it's wonderful to find people, after all these years, still faithful, still steadfast, going on. In fact, Revelation 20 talks about being faithful to death. That's what we want to be. We don't want to be those that might give up. Meekness is another fruit. This means mildness. In other words, being a mild-tempered person. I've always bragged about my mother. I believe that woman would walk 10 miles to go around trouble rather than to walk into it. She hated trouble anywhere. And so she was so meek and so mild. It was wonderful. Another one is temperance. And temperance here is from a word that means self-command or self-control. And as I mentioned to you in regard to witchcraft or pharmakia or enchant with drugs, if you're using drugs of any kind, you're not in control of self. Something, the drug is in control. And I have seen so much of it. It makes me sick. Makes me hurt. I have friends today in prison because of drugs. And both of them were for selling drugs. And I have very little patience with anybody that would sell drugs. It's one thing to use them, but to sell them, that's much worse. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 24th verse. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. John knows all about sports, and we all strive for this mastery. But he said, anybody that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. They under self-control. Training. Watch what they eat, watch what they drink, exercise, sleep, and so forth. All of it has to do with self-control. And this may surprise you, but Paul said, therefore I run not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air or just fights the air. He says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Just think of that. The great apostle that brought Christianity to Europe, went through so much, had to literally beat his body into subjection, lest that after he had preached to everybody else, he himself would be lost. I'm very aware of that. I have a responsibility before you, before God first, but before you too, to live right so that I would never offend you or cause you to turn aside from the Lord. So the self-control is one of the fruits, is we learn control of self. As Paul said, finally, he said, against such things there is no law. The 13th of Romans, Paul named a bunch of things, and then he finally said, if there's any of these, it's understood in love. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's above all these commandments. And therefore, we would surely not harm our neighbor or our loved one in any way if we love them. So here you have them. Works of the flesh cannot please God, opposed to the spirit, the old nature, opposed to the new nature, which is called spirit, that brings forth these fruits. And I don't know whether I'm telling this right, but in a way, a tree doesn't labor to bring forth fruit. It's there, and the fruit comes because it is a tree. We're in Christ. Are we laboring to bring forth good fruits, or did the good fruits come forth because we are in Christ? But anyway, no matter how you look at it, there is production. And the whole thing is based upon us feeding on the Word of God, not on trash, but feeding on the Word of God, increasing our love, our joy, our peace, our long-suffering, our gentleness, our goodness, our faith, and so on. So if we're fruit inspectors, as we mentioned, we start with self. That's where we start to see what kind of fruits we have. And if these fruits of the Spirit are not present in a measure, then we're probably not His. We're probably not doing what we should. And the dangerous thing, we may not enter the kingdom of God. That would be terrible. I've heard people sometimes say, well, I've been faithful in my position. God is going to give me rule over 10 cities. And I've heard people through the years wonder what position they're going to have in the kingdom of God. Listen, this is one guy that's never worried about position. All I ever think about is getting there. And that's what we need to work on. So anything that would keep us out of the kingdom, we want to throw that away. We want to get rid of it and to be on the Lord's side and in Him and walking with Him. Christ lives in us. Any good works we may have, any fruit we may have, it will be from abiding in Him and Him abiding in us. That's what we want. Thank you for your time.